Hallelujah. Amen. Wasn't that good praise? I mean, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we do give honor that, you know, what a blessing, what a joy that we can be in this country and we have your freedoms, a country that was established on your word. And we thank you for that. And I just pray you work in, manifest yourself to that you would be glorified. And so we just ask that of you. And Lord, I just pray you'd be encouragement to each person here and open the word to us and to speak to us and give us insights we didn't have before. And Lord, that we could just have a better understanding of you. Just anoint me that I just speak things of the Spirit and each heart would be open to receive. And so again, we thank you for this morning and give praise to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Well, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. As you know, we're going through 2 Corinthians. So here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. It says this, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Now, coming up to this point, and it's really important to think, how did we get here? How did we get to chapter 6, verse 1? The first five chapters in 1 Corinthians are just some really powerful doctrine, just doctrine, you know, about, you know, the Lord and our relationship. And it really is, you know, worth studying. And so after this first five chapters of this powerful doctrine, then he says this. Okay, the statement is, you have all this doctrine. Now as God's co-workers, we urge you, do not receive the grace in vain. Now, note something there. You've received the grace. He explained that in the first chapter. We have received his grace. He's given it us. Now he's going, don't receive it in vain, you co-workers. Now, this message is going to be, to me, kind of fascinating. But what this verse tells us and what I looked at, I kind of went through the New Testament and looked at different verses that applied to the term co-worker. You know, I was looking for things, thinking about co-worker. We know what, you know, co-workers are supposed to know because of the first five chapters. And I thought, well, I just want to look at this statement about co-workers and see what else the other scripture, you know, ties into it. And so that's what I want to do this morning. So I'll kind of move around, you know, in different books and stuff, you know, to pull out those truths. And so what we have here in this verse, if you will, again, heavy doctrine, first five chapters. And what we have here in this verse, it's kind of a statement of a Christian, I don't know how to put the words, he's going to communicate to us a Christian dynamic, a Christian awareness. It's just like, this is what you should be aware of. This is how you should operate. This is how I'm working. This is what I'm telling you to do. So it's, you know, it's kind of like when you're talking to your kids, you know, you send out, they're going out to a party or something. You give them the cars. Okay, listen, drive slow. Okay, you know, but watch the world. You know, don't be talking on your phone. And, you know, just go where I tell you to and be aware of these people and watch these people. Make sure you just have these people. It's one of those. You know what I mean? Well, this is what God's doing to us right now. He said, I'm just giving you an awareness, a Christian dynamic. These are things you need to know. Need to know. So, that's where we got. So here we are. It's God's co-workers. That's who he's talking to. It's God's co-workers. When you talk to your kids, you're talking to your kids. Not the neighbor's kids. You're talking to your kids. In fact, you say, don't hang out with your neighbor kids. And just talk to your kids. No. So anyway, so here we are. So as God's co-workers. So as God's co-workers, we know from chapter 5, the previous chapter, we know that we see that God, by his grace, reconciled himself, making us new creations. That's us. Okay, so we know that. We're the co-workers and we're the new creations. Now, as new creations, God has entrusted the ministry of reconciliation to us. That's what it said just in chapter 5. So, okay, he's entrusted this ministry to us, this ministry of reconciliation. As ministers of reconciliation, God calls us to be ambassadors on behalf of Christ, is stated in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Okay, these co-workers, who are their ambassadors? All that, this flow, your new creation, your ambassadors, co-workers on the behalf of Christ. Now here in 2 Corinthians 6:1, we're referred to as God's co-workers who are entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. That's how we got here, co-workers. Co-workers entrusted with the ambassadors entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what's important about this, or was to me, this is not a position. This is not a position. This is a responsibility. You have a position, you go this, and I want to check in here. It's like, no, that's not what I'm about. This is your responsibility. It's not a position, it's a responsibility. So this is what he's talking about to us as co-workers. It's not that we have a position, we have a responsibility, and we need to be aware of it, and he's concerned about this. Now, knowing this is a responsibility, being God's co-workers carries over into our daily life. Now, this is where this is going, okay? This, everything we've learned, carries over into our daily life. How many of you, I talk to people, you know, serving the Lord, and, you know, a lot of people, and say, well, what do I do? What do I do? What's God telling me to do? And, you know, things like that, when we know we're reconciled. Well, the truth of it, and I really believe this is the truth of it, this is what God is telling us to do. You want to know what to do as believers and as ministers of reconciliation? This is it. He tells us what to do. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 through 12. You should mind your own business, work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Where are we supposed to? That's where we're to move, and that's what we are supposed to do. Okay? Now, we have the ministry of reconciliation, and we know that. Okay, so we're equipped. We're empowered. Okay? But wherever you are, mind your own business. How many Christians you would like to just be with and tell them, mind your own business? Not that it ever crossed your mind, but you could see where that had come from. Mind your own business, work with your hands, do work just as you were told. We told you to do this. And Paul was a good example of this. Your daily life may win respect of outsiders. All the unbelievers, there's respect from outsiders. They're unbelievers. Man, these people work hard. These people care. These people have some character. You know, you have an impact on the people, on outsiders, and so you will not be dependent on anyone. Right? Now I'm going to share something with you. And there's a little the pet peeve, you know, I kind of stray. How many of you drive down the road and have people, different people begging for money for different reasons, may be legitimate, may not. But I want to tell you one that's not legitimate. I mean, not legitimate. I want to honk my horn at them. And when people are standing at a curb or road and asking for donations to a church. Have you ever seen that? I have, yeah, they don't know. You know, help God's work. I'm thinking, no, I think God's got this. You know, I don't know what your God's doing, but you're not supposed to beg for money. Not for beg for money. There's a lady we Linda and I met, and I just loved her to death. And she has a church and she has a pastor. Okay, a little different than what I'm used to or anything, but she really loved the Lord. And she let somebody came in and one was asking for money. She said, "We don't give you money." She said, "We'll give you Jesus. We'll give you money. Money won't help you. I'll give you Jesus." And says, "You come into Jesus and you come to my Father, and my Father has all the money. He made all the money in the world. And you come to my Father, and my Father will give you all you need. You come all you need, but you got to come to my Father." I say, "Amen, sister. Don't hold a sign on the street corner begging for money. Not for a church. Okay, something else, that's fine. You know, what, that's fine. That is wrong. That's a total abhorrent, showing the whole failure of the ministry of God and his work and his provider. You know, never does he say to do that." Now other things may be acceptable. I'm not trying to cover everything. But what is he saying here? He's, "Listen, do work. Okay, what you want to do? You need to work in this world I've given you. You need to be productive in this world I give you. You need to use your abilities in the world I give you." In other places, it say you're supposed to go beyond everyone else. You know, how many, not that any of y'all would think, "I have a terrible boss. He's the worst boss in the world." You know what the Bible, and the Bible addresses that specifically. It goes, "Work harder than anybody else. Show him more respect than anybody else." That's what you do to a bad boss if you're a Christian. Because we have a king that provides, and he's working with that bad boss. He works from that end, and we work from this end. By being productive to him. I mean, really, there's a lot in there about those things. So it's a good scripture. And and there's one verse in there that my father, who was an unbeliever at the time, for a long years and years, could have written, you know, but it's totally biblical. He goes, "You don't work, you don't eat." Now, that's a bit that's in the Bible. That's what it says. You know, you don't work, you don't eat. Now, again, people go through all different things, and it says be kind to the poor and help the poor. I mean, it says all that stuff. But it kind of says, you walk with the poor and say, "Hey, buddy, you want a job? Let's get you a job." You know, what happened? But you need, if you don't work, you know, I'm kind of, you know, the Lord's telling me don't help you. If you're not going to work, see, so it's coming out, you know, the truth of it. And so we do things out of compassion, like, "Oh, this is it." And what we do is enable and enhance their misery that they'll never get out of it. Okay. Which some people will make that decision anyway. But what the Lord is trying to do is tell us to understand how we're supposed to function and how we're supposed to function in this world going around us and what actually is happening. So you work that out with people who have needs. I'm just saying, a Wally-ism, don't give to a church that's begging. Don't do that. There's something wrong. There is, you know, there's something wrong with that. So anyway, back to this. We have all this doctrine. Work at your job and do well and do better than everybody else. Outwork everyone around you. The Bible tells you that. And it says that he will be glorified. And he says if you don't work that way, you will bring dishonor to him. Okay? He has strong statements about being idle, the Lord does. It's just something that he abhors. So here we are. It's an understanding. Who got all this doctrine? Hey, listen, you know, outwork everybody around you in your physical life, in providing for your family with this doctrine. Because what you'll do is glorify this doctrine by taking care of your family. Do you know what he said? In the Bible, God says, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. You know, that's like, he just puts you worse than unbelievers if you don't take care of your family. So this really has an impact in our Christian life and how we function as people and believers and in the church. Therefore, so what we see here, we see as ambassadors, again, what's it talking about? Co-workers, ambassadors for Christ. As ambassadors for Christ and co-workers with God, we should work as ministers of reconciliation, and this is so important, wherever God has placed us. Where am I supposed to go? You're not supposed to go any place. You're supposed to do it where you're at. In fact, it says things like this. Are you a slave? Okay. Then stay there as a slave and work harder than anybody else. Because that's where I have you. And if you're set free, good. Take advantage of that. But until that time, you work. Now see, because God's looking at the big picture. I'm working. I'm doing something. You cooperate with I'm working. And we're going to spread Christ because of how hard you work in your responsibility. So wherever God's placed you, I'm just going to tell you, wherever God's placed you, unless it's in the depths of sin of your own doing, but wherever God has placed you, that's where you're supposed to stay. Well, forever? No. But that's where you're supposed to minister. And as you minister there, then God's going to provide opportunities at different places. But you have to serve Him and sacrifice there where you are. That's where you start. That's where you start. So, we know that we minister where God has placed us as co-workers, has placed us is work in life. Verse very clear. Remain where you're called. That verse is in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Remain where you're called. Now you can work out of it, but that's where you are. That's where you are. God knows where you are, and God's called you in that place, and He'll take you to other places. And we are supposed to walk and be obedient to Him in every situation that comes to us. And we learn. How many here, you know, pushing 50 or whatever, have learned a ton of stuff by what you did and didn't do. You know? It's like, God, how did you learn that? Well, I just went through it and came out on the other end and, Lord be. I wrote a book on marriage relationships, you know, after we'd been separated 2 years. Now, I'm sure that, I don't know if that's God's plan. I'm sure it doesn't end where that was planned. But I know if we hadn't been separated 2 years, there wouldn't have been any book, you know. So it's just like, okay, I don't know, you know. But you just stay in, you truck away, and all right, God, you try to just walk with Him, walk with Him, walk with Him. And you come out on the other end, and He teaches you something. He teaches you something. Or He tries to teach you something. He tries to teach you something. Some of us are harder to learn than others. Okay, so we got that. Where we are, God's going to move. And, you know, He says, as God's co-workers. That's who He's talking about. And He says, you know, don't receive God's power in vain. Okay, stay where you are. Minister where you are until God takes you out of that. God takes you out of that. Now, here's kind of shift gears here. As God's co-workers, as God's ambassadors, okay, as God's new creations, as God's co-workers, it's really important, as God's co-workers, we also support other co-workers in the ministry of reconciliation. We support other co-workers. Now, that's a biblical thing. Some co-workers God has called into full-time labor or service to the Word of God. There's a few people, there's people that God has called into full-time service. I just love this guy. And R.T. Kendall, and it's kind of down deep, I really believe it. You know R.T. Kendall? Okay. R.T. Kendall, and you come to know, what am I supposed to do? Yes, the Bible says to work where you are, minister where I have you, you know, and you come up, people say, come, I want to go to the ministry. And R.T. says, I ask them, if you can do anything else, if you have any abilities to do anything else, you do that. Now, if you can't do nothing else, go into ministry. And I thought, well, I relate to that. So here I am, voila. You know, I can't. Don't fire me. I have no place else to go. I mean, it's just here. But there's a real truth to that, and it makes sense. No, I called you in a place. Don't leave. Because I'm working in that place, you know, and I'm working people all, you know, and so you be obedient wherever I have called you like that. And you are gifted in different places, and I call you with those gifts to express those gifts, and I can talk through you in those places because you have these other gifts of which you can communicate to these people around you. See, I mean, it's one of those things. But he does call people into the ministry. And it is a call. And it should be a call. And you know why it should be a call? Because I'm just telling you, you'll quit. You'll quit. It's like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know. He said, you want it, you got it. Okay, now. So, anyway, But he has called people into the ministry and do different things, and so we work through. But look at what, when you support these other co-workers, what happens? You become a co-worker with them. Listen, look at 3 John 7 through 8. Fascinating. 3 John 7 through 8. It says this. For they, and in this section, just talking about co-workers, ministers, okay, talking about people carrying on ministry. It says, for they, co-workers, have gone out for the sake of the name. They've gone out ministering for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Don't give nothing to these people holding the sign to give to Jesus. And if they're Gentiles, don't take it. That's what the Bible says. He said, I don't need the Gentiles to help me. I got enough. I got enough finances myself. I don't need the Gentiles to help me. All right. You want a Gentile help you get a job and outwork everybody else. So these ministers have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers in the truth. These people, given this life to the ministry, to study, to work, everything, they've sacrificed everything to do this, and you're their co-worker for Christ, and when you support them, you become a co-worker with them for Christ, just like them. Every much as they are, you are. Had so many people going out and do something and carrying on a big ministry. And he said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for X, Y, and Z. So the person carrying out the ministry gets a blessing. So does X, Y, and Z who supported them to allow them to do the ministry. Co-worker, same thing. You see, God worked the whole thing. And the people that are supporting probably have all sorts of gifts to do things and work and everything that can support in a financial way that these other people going out wouldn't have. They have different gifts to go out and sacrifice to God, working through them to communicate the gospel. So they work together, which is the greatest there is. Co-workers. They're both co-workers. This is a co-worker getting all the blessing of this one carrying out the message. Amen? Same thing. Co-workers. God's working it all together. None's better than the other, but they are working together. When we are co-workers, when we support other co-workers. Well, I can't go to the whatever. Yeah, this is not what's called. I can't do what their co-worker. I can't do what they're doing. Well, then help them, and you become a co-worker with them because you help them. You see? Different All it is, it is a different calling. And it's the same thing. We are co-workers when we support other co-workers. Now, Jesus even makes this clear to help us understand. And again, you can see what God's doing. He's calling people, everybody, you know, he's calling everybody, and he has everybody into different things, and he's calling them, and he's helping us recognize, to recognize what he's doing and how we function together as a church. You know, and say we call co-workers. Well, I can't go to the mission field. Well, are you supporting the guy in the mission field? Well, yeah, I can do that. Okay, you're co-workers. You're saying they're no different, and I made you different to function here or function there. Okay, so Jesus helps us to understand that he makes it clear that if we support someone Jesus has sent, okay, the key, Jesus has sent, not that they went. If we support someone Jesus sent, they in fact, if they support someone Jesus sent, they are in fact supporting Jesus. That's when it works. That's the way it works. Therefore, we're being co-workers by supporting people Jesus sent. Look at what Jesus said in John 13:20. John 13:20. Again, we're looking at the whole picture, the dynamic, as we work through the things in our life and have an understanding of what God is doing, okay? Look at John 13:20. He says, truly, truly, Jesus is saying this, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send, who sent him? Who sent him? That guy on the road holding the sign to give to Jesus, God didn't send him. I'm just telling you, okay? He didn't send him. Okay, okay. Jesus said, whoever receives the one I send receives me. There you go. Jesus said, whoever receives the one I send receives me. Me. We have, and Linda and I have had an opportunity a lot to help a lot of different people living close to Dulles International. So a lot of times we have different missionaries and people that involved. I mean, we've several have come in, and so we'll pick them up, stay all night, you know, come and take it, you know. And so we help them out the best we can. And Linda just is great hospitality and does such a good job. That's not my motivation, because I'm a big hospitality. I just kind of follow her around. People think I am, but I'm not. But I kind of have a motive. I know if we help them, we're helping Jesus. And seriously, these people, they're coming in, they don't have a way, and you go to the airport, and you pick them up, and you bring them back in there. And so Jesus sent them down to the airport, and he wants me to go pick them up. So I'm helping them, I'm helping Jesus. See, and that's exactly what Jesus said. But he's going, that's what you're supposed to do. These people are representing me, then you need to support them. And then you're a co-worker with them, and you receive me when you receive them. See, it's like, oh, you should, you know, wow. We should pay attention to that, because that's how he works. And I don't know these verses, people would disagree with me, but it just says it right here. Don't you know people tell you stuff, but I said, but it just says it right here. So I don't know how to get where you are when the Bible says this, because the Bible says accept nothing from the Gentiles. So he kind of dumps it on the church. He kind of dumps it on believers. You know, he kind of goes, well, I need to go, and I'm just saying the verse, I'm just trying to handle the verse. We need to go with these X, Y, Z, rich, lost people, and so they can give to our cause. And I'm thinking, I don't think you're supposed to do that. I don't know. It says accept nothing from the Gentiles, you know. So, y'all work it out. I don't know. Y'all work it out. Then it says like that, you know, Then verse 8 says, therefore, these people, they're not accepting money from the Gentiles, they're serving me. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers in the truth. We're receiving as much blessing as the blessing they're receiving. You see? And they're going and doing some mission field, and they probably in a million years couldn't do or have the wisdom or the abilities to do what you do in your work that earns money to support them. They couldn't do it. Don't have the abilities. See? Now, so what we have here, we understand that that God says this is how the body of Christ should function. You can see it how it functions in a healthy ways. Now, are you ready for this? God wants us to know and God wants us to understand things, like have good sense, you know, just have an understanding of things that he's behind, but it's good sense. So God tells us this is how the church should work. However, he warns us to be really cautious. He warns us to be really cautious and exercise discernment in concerning those we support. Everybody that comes and holds out a cup or holds up a sign or says they need money, you know, that may not be who you're, that is definitely may not be who you're supposed to support. And look what it says in 1 John 4:1. Here's the truth. This is the truth. The whole thing's working out. Everything's swirling around. We have our church and we have, you know, believers. And it says this in 1 John 4:1. Beloved co-workers. That's what he's saying. Beloved, you co-workers, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now you got to pay attention. You got to know. Pastor Minter, he told me his. I wish he hears tell. He just does a better job of communicating this. He said he started the ministry and said this guy came in. Somebody brought him in and said this guy was like the most charismatic thing and said he needed money to start this ministry and do this, and he got the elders together, and the elders came together, and this guy said get them, hold hands, and they held hands up together, and they called down Jesus for, you know, finances and provision and for the ministry. He said the elders and this guy just praying like crazy, you know. Said, oh, you wouldn't hear. He said, it was the best prayer I've heard in my life. It just, you wouldn't believe how he prayed. Pastor Minter talks like that. Oh, it's the best prayer. And they found that he's a charlatan. Absolute crook. I mean, he just soaked them, you know. They gave him the money. He left town. Don't give, you know. I mean, he's a charlatan. You know. But he said, I don't care. He's a charlatan. Now this is me. You always have to kind of get me out of some of the equations here. I'm going to tell you, just because someone comes up to me and says, God told me. I mean, they wouldn't say, God told me. What I do in my mind, I make the sign of the cross and go, you know, if he told you, you'd be doing it and you wouldn't be telling me. I mean, I just, you know, so if God tells you something, just approach me gently, you know, because see, when any time someone tells you, God told me, or, you know, the conversation has ended, right? Well, let's have a discussion. You say, well, God told me. And through a conversation, God told you, now, I'm not going to trump God, right? If God told you, no conversation. There's no conversation. See, so just be cautious. Be cautious who, you know, who you're talking to. And so he's given us a warning here. And he says, and look how he says this. you don't think, wait a minute. Don't believe every spirit. Well, these people, you don't know. It's a spirit. Don't believe every spirit. But test the spirits. Okay? You know, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. See, that puts it on us. He said, listen, I blessed you with finances here, and I blessed you with things. Yeah, don't just throw it away from these crazy charlatans. Somebody wants the money that you work for that I've given you and I blessed you with. Don't waste it. Pay attention to who you're giving to. Pay attention. See? And so he's putting it on you. And so you give it away. God, he took all my money. I said, your money? He says, that's my money, and you didn't take care of my money. So I'm going to quit blessing you if you don't get smarter. See, you see what I'm saying? So this is what, that's what all this is saying. So, and here's another, and this is the reason that God gets so upset about this when we give to charlatans, is the cautions, because when we support someone, we become a co-worker with whom we support. Those elders with Mike Minner, and they prayed, and this crook, and they gave him a bunch of money, they became those elders and Pastor Minner became co-workers with that crook to carry on his ministry. Well, who wants to be? God's going, yeah, you can't be a co-worker with crooks and expect me to bless you. You're not showing any discernment. How can I bless you? There's no discernment. See? So when you give, you become co-workers with those people. Think about that. There's people you should give to. Do you give and you go, now I am a co-worker with them in what they're doing? See, so it makes us responsible. The support. Now, look at 2 John 10 through 11. And so, you know, test the spirits. Well, you have to test the spirits. You know, it's like, gosh, is this really coming from this guy's heart? Well, you have to look at his background. You got to know something about him, where he's coming. You know, does he have any credentials? You know, you have to just know all those things. What's his message? What's his message? Oh, you work your way to heaven. You got to do it. I'm not, man, I don't want to give you $5. Just get away from me. You go, no, you. What is the guy's message? What does he believe? What does he believe? See, so we have to test the spirit. So look at 2 John 10 through 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching. Now, I'm going to share something. This is with y'all. Okay, I can share. Because I know all y'all. And this teaching. You already have this teaching. You already have the teaching. The reconciliation, talking about the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. We are forgiven. So you have that foundation. But then you the next step. Then you know the people and what the message is. And we're God's leading them, and you think, I can co-partner with them. Because you're putting your blood on the line with these people. God goes, you sacrifice and work for these finances, and now you give. And now you're putting it on with this person. You're becoming a co-worker with them, and you're putting yourself on the line with this people as a representative. It's like, okay, maybe I should think about this. I just don't give the guy a couple of bucks, and we'd be okay. He goes, no, you don't do that. You don't do that. See, just read this. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, he's talking about this teaching, the gospel message of reconciliation. If he does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Well, I know, and nice guy, I didn't want to throw him out of the street. All right, you can stay all night, you know, I help you out and send you out the next day. Just be a nice, kind Christian, loving person, you know, don't want to put the guy on the street. God goes, you just became part of his wicked works. He's someone I detest, and now you became a part of his works by greeting him and bringing him into your house. When you brought him into your house, you became a part of his ministry. Jeez. And what? That's what he says. That's exactly what he says. We support someone and we become co-workers with them for good or for evil. We're attached. I tell you what, what's your money? I mean, give it away. Do with it what you want to, but don't give it to these charlatans. You know, but they said, they seem so nice. Do you know what God said about these people? He goes, the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. He goes, so do his ministers. See, he's calling on the church. Said, listen, I'm blessing you. Take care of what I'm giving you. Take care. You know, and there's a lot of people out there like this. A lot of people out there. So, whenever we support someone, we become co-workers with them. Now, Paul, I'll just throw this in here. In this whole section, Paul is really concerned about this. The people he's writing to, and he's concerned. He said, listen, there are all these charlatans. But he said, listen, you've heard me. I take it. I've communicated the truth. And so what he does in chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 to 13, he goes through, says, listen, this is me, okay, I'm legitimate, and this is proof that I'm legitimate, okay, here's proof. I'll just pick out a few things he said, that he showed the people he was legitimate, and that he wasn't a charlatan, and said, proving himself to be a legitimate co-worker of God. So he said he endured beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, and on and on and on. He goes, that's my credentials. Paul wasn't in it for the money. He wasn't in it for the prestige. He said, I suffered beatings. And read the whole list. It's fascinating. Verse 3 through 13. Now, also, I personally think, this is a good assessment versus, you know, 3 to 13, you endure beatings, imprisonment, riots, labor, sleepless night. I think it's a good assessment for any outside speaker who comes to you and claims to speak for God. Seriously. Seriously. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. I don't know you. What are your credentials? Well, I've got this. Well, that, look at what Paul's credentials. Where's Paul again? So I think it's a good assessment for any outside speaker that claims to speak for God. I'll tell you, Pastor Minner, again, I just love him to death. Love him to death. But there's a guy I won't tell you the country, I won't tell you the name, I won't tell you anything else. I won't do it. But he was just gung-ho from this evangelist, you know. And so he talked Pastor Minner into letting him come speak out to church. And he gave it just bang up. I mean, most charismatic speaker you ever saw. And just, you know, come to Jesus, come to you. And always, you know, be sure and give. You know, kind of to give to support his ministry and stuff. And just really, and came from like a third world country. And so I'm sitting there listening to Pastor Minner. I mean, he's the boss, you know, like that. And I go, now listen to what he said. Now, Pastor Miller, he's underplaced things. And I says, what do you think of him? I mean, it was really entertaining. I said, what do you think of him? He goes, where are his scars? And I thought, what? That's all he said. And I got, that's what Paul's saying. He goes, this guy's throwing, he's giving you all that. Where's his scars? He ain't suffering. And what Pastor Miller said, I don't have to do any research on this guy. I'm not going to waste my time. Where's his scars? And I thought, huh. Anyway, but this is what Paul's saying. So when Paul shows himself as legitimate, he shows his scars. He says, you can't argue with this. You can't argue with my scars. Okay, we got to move on. I'm going here. Back to co-workers. See, and again, you should hold these. I'm dead serious. There's just too many charlatans. These outside speakers or these outside people you don't know, you need to give them some grace. Now, me, I want a lot of grace. But anyway, you got to give these guys some grace, you know. But you need to hold them to a higher standard. You really do. If they claim to speak for God, you got to hold them to a higher standard. It's just like, okay, buddy. Where are your scars? Anyway, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 6:1. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive the grace in vain. Okay, now, by that statement, the first five chapters, you've received the grace. He brought the message of reconciliation. We received it. Now we're carrying that message of reconciliation. So we've received the grace. It's already assumed. He goes, So don't receive it in vain. Like, do something with it. All the riches of God, do something with what I gave you. That's what he's saying here. Now, so co-workers shouldn't be receiving the grace of God in vain. Now, grace is favor and power of God, the divine influence upon the heart, its reflection in the life. Grace should be reflected in our life. I'm telling you, it should be a change. If you're the same way now as you were when you got saved, man, you need to do some self-examination. I mean, because grace should be reflected in your life. When we are saved by grace, we are saved by grace, but we're all supposed to live by grace. We got to live by grace. Well, how do you do that? See, as God's co-workers, we should not squander the riches given to us by failing to live by his power. You hear me? You shouldn't squander the riches. He said, I gave them to you. I gave it. Now you take that. And don't squander the riches he's given us by failing to live by his power. That's how we squander it. We fail to live by his power. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. I don't know. Evidently, there's a kind of a theology going around. They call it cheap grace, free grace. And, you know, it's a heresy. And so, and I suppose so. But grace is not cheap, and grace is powerful. And grace is powerful. Look at Titus chapter 2, 11 through 12. For the grace of God has appeared. Right? For the grace of God has appeared. Look what it says. Now it says other things. I didn't want to put the whole thing here. For the grace of God has appeared, teaching us. You don't stay the same. You receive the grace of God. It's teaching. The grace within us, the power, is teaching us, all the way showing us. The grace of God has appeared, teaching us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. The grace of God is moving us and transforming us to behave like Jesus, a constant working. And he says, read the word and stuff like that, you know, but come in. But he's constantly work within us. And so, grace teaches us. By cooperating with God, we are changed. God warns us that there are consequences not cooperating with God. Amen? Okay, you cooperate with God. There's a power that's moving us forward, teaching us self-control, upright, godly lives. Amen? But if that's cooperating with God, what he's teaching us, and though if we don't cooperate with God, then it's Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 15. This is what happens when you don't cooperate with God. Some of you can say, yeah, I kind of been there. In fact, most of us could say, yeah, I kind of been there. We just don't want to stay there. See, this is when we don't cooperate with God. Hebrews 12, 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. That's, well, they don't fall short, you won't be saved. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the grace we already received. We've already received. God's done the reconciliation, already give us the grace. Now let us make sure that we don't fall short of God's grace and that no accompanying bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That's how you know. And we're talking to believers. We're talking to believers that fall short of God's grace. And a root of bitterness. You ever have folks just bitter? You know, just it, but that root of bitterness grows from within, from not cooperating with God and not happy with the way your life turned out. So you blame God, become bitter, blame somebody else. And you cause trouble and defiles many. It affects the whole church. I mean, you just, everyone says, I just wish you could just be miserable and stay home. But you got to come and share your misery with everybody else. Lord Jesus, you know. By neglecting God's grace, his abundant riches, we become disappointed. How many Christians are disappointed? Because God didn't work the way we thought he's supposed to work. I mean, we had this plan for God. See, become disappointed and grow bitter, causing trouble for ourselves and defile all those around us. It's God saying, this is why. And they're telling you something else. But this is why. This is what's happening. You ever see somebody just going through one trial after another and just come out that we love Jesus, giving him the glory, and we're just going to keep moving. See? Cooperating with God and the grace of God. Or come out, I don't know why God did this. I don't deserve this. You know, this is not fair. These other people, they don't do anything. I try. This is the, you know, it's like, I don't. It's bitter. Well, I don't know. You got two people. What's the difference? One's going to cooperate with God. One's not. One's not. It's as simple as anything right here. Therefore, he says, what do you do? Therefore, we should humble ourselves to God, and he will give us favor and power in life. Really? Humble yourself. I'm just miserable. I don't deserve this. It's just like, God, nothing's worked out in my life. I love you, Jesus, and I know you're doing something with me. What is it? 1 Peter 5:5. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proud. This is what I had. This is my purpose. And it's not working out. And I did everything I was supposed to. And God, you need to bless me on this. God, this is not fair. God, gosh, that sounds like me. And what is that? What God says here, he opposes the proud. That's proud. That's me saying, God, you're not listening to me. You're not doing what I think. See, that's proud. See, I'm giving God direction. But he gives grace to humble. God, I submit to you and who you're doing and what you're doing, and you're going to do great things. And don't have a bitter attitude. And then God says, I give you power. I give those people power. The other folks, proud folks, I don't give them power. Living in grace. I just love this one. I love this one. Okay. Living in grace. Right? Here's a deep, profound thought. Living in grace is based on our decision. Living in grace is based on our decision. Why? We already have it because God reconciled us to us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave it to us. He goes, now I've entrusted it to you. All right. You know, don't take it in vain. See, living in grace is based on our decision. Don't blame somebody else and don't blame God. As co-workers, cooperate with God. He is working in us. And here, this verse is so good. It's just so good. Take my word for it. It's so good. Okay. This is going to tell us how. This is going to tell us what grace is, how it's working, and so we can cooperate with God. You ready? There's a definite, this is one you've heard before. This is powerful. I mean, it's powerful for you to live your life today. Powerful. It's co-workers. His core word. Don't receive his grace in vain, because Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works. I'm telling you, God, you're not doing nothing. I'm doing a bunch, man, but I ain't got much to work with. He wouldn't say that. But it is God who works in you, both to will. I love that word, to will. He gives us the will. You ever hear anybody, I just don't want to. I mean, that's your ingenuity. I know why you don't want to. You don't have any walk with God. Now, pastorally, I can't say that, but I'm just thinking it. See, he gives you the will. See, well, it is God who works in you. Where's the will come? From God. Well, I don't have God's will. God ain't working in you. Have you even received his grace? Okay. That was just, but don't repeat any of that. Just keep it in the back of your mind. It is God who works in you, both to will, he gives us a will, and to work. That work is power. Literally, it's power. I don't know why they didn't translate it as power, but it is power. Look it up. Okay. For as God, he's doing it. For as God, you know, he's already given us, he's already reconciled. For as God who works in you both to will, give us the will, and to work, give us the power for his good pleasure. His good pleasure. I think sometimes we're irritated at God because we want our good pleasure and not his good pleasure. I have more fun than you're having. God, I think it'd be a lot more fun than what you're telling me to do. You know, see, but he works this out for his good pleasure. He just tickled to death to do this. Now, I think about this, but it's the truth. God gives his people all they will take. Some of us ain't going to take nothing. We're just not going to take it. You know, because our self-will is going to interfere with God, what God's telling us. You know, God, you would, if you love me, you would do what I want to do. He goes, if you love me, you'd do what I'm telling you. You know, see. God gives his people all they will take abundantly, over in abundance. It is important for us not to fail to make use of our opportunities. You're in this terrible job. You have this terrible boss, you have this terrible situation, and God calls it an opportunity. God, I don't like this opportunity. This is a no fun opportunity. But he said, no, it's an opportunity. See, it's his good pleasure, and he wants us not to take his grace in vain, and because he wants us to use it in our opportunity. In this situation where we are, that's where why we're supposed to stay in position. He calls us. That's our opportunity for his good pleasure to do what he wants to do. Grace empowers us when we call out to Jesus as co-workers and ambassadors. We must go to the throne to find out the will and the power to help us in our time of need. Right? We go to the throne of grace. Right? I mean, we won't help. God, help me. You know, go to the throne of grace. All this flows. The whole Bible flows together. And it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us then, co-workers, ambassadors, new creations, let us approach God's throne of grace. What's grace? Favor and power. Let's approach the favor and power of God. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Oh boy. Glory to be. Tickled pink with confidence. Oh, this is good. Nothing can bad happen. This is good. Because we trust what God has to say. We, as co-workers and ambassadors, we must go to the throne and find the will and power of God. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace. When? To find grace, find will and power. So they go to the throne of grace so that you may find power in the will, in God's will, to help us in our time of need. Where are we supposed to camp out? Throne of grace. We just camp out there. You just camp out there. Well, God, I'm man, this world hurt right here. Help me. What's your will? What's your will? Give me your power. What's your will? Give me your power. Okay, that's step one. And that's where, oh, that's like 1 Peter 5:5. He rejects the proud, gives grace to the humble. The humble come before the throne of grace and say, God, I need help. That's how he functions. How he functions right here. In our time of need. Now, as God's co-workers, we see the urgency of God's work. And I'm really going over, but I'm going to quit, make this quick. Say, God's co-workers, if you're co-workers, you see the urgency. You know, I a word I hate. I just hate it with him. I go, whatever. Whatever. You know, I think that word's demonic. Whatever. You know, whatever. You know, it's like, no, that's not how it works. There's no whatever. Co-workers, God's co-workers see urgency. They see urgency. All right. They see urgency of God's work. And that's a reason, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. I tell you, you know, co-workers don't receive God's grace in vain. Verse 2. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Don't now. Where you are now. Now. It's happening now. As ambassadors for Christ, as co-workers, we're told that now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. This is the day for the message of reconciliation which he entrusted to us wherever we are at the time. And all we need to do is go to the throne of grace, ask him for in our time of need. He'll give us favor and direction and power to do what we're supposed to do. Listen to me. Listen to me. And if you don't, you're going to become bitter and disappointed. If you don't, if you listen to me, you're going to grow and be powerful, and I'm going to help you, and you're going to grow in knowing me and how I help my people, my co-workers. And because I gave my co-workers the message. The message. The message. And the message is, you know what the message is. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The verse before 2 Corinthians 6:1. I just had to say it. Here is the message. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin to give us his grace. Don't use it in vain. Do something. Do something with it. Do something with it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for, God, we thank you for your word. I mean, we look at this and, Lord, we're amazed. First of all, we're amazed that we're called your co-workers. And that, Lord, that's just hard for us to get our arms around. But you said you've given us, you've reconciled us to yourself. And then you've given us that message of reconciliation. Therefore, you've become co-workers with us. Co-workers with us. We've received it. We become a co-worker with you. And now you're working your power through us. And you say, just come before the throne of grace. And I'll tell you, I'll give you grace. I'll give you power in your time of need. You know, I will do it. We're at the front of this. We're at the power of this. I'm doing great works. Be excited. Don't get bitter. Don't be disappointed. Look to me. Trust me. And know I'm doing more than you can ever imagine. Never imagine. So, Lord, we give thanks to you. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.